This is TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
A name the Blue Jays could target. I'm Scott Ferguson with the TSN 1050 Sports Center update. The Blue Jays' top priority in the offseason is to find a versatile infielder who can also play a bit of outfield. Our Blue Jays reporter Scott Mitchell picked out a player who perfectly fits that bill.
The one guy that comes to mind when you look at this free agent market is Eduardo Nunez. I mean, this is a guy who's played second base, shortstop, third base. He's played a little outfield, and that's exactly what Ross Atkins talked about needing. I don't think the investment would be crazy. It's not going to be cheap.
Scott Mitchell on the Scott MacArthur Show today. The Raptors coming off that gut-wrenching one-point loss at Boston. Look for a bounce back tonight at Houston versus the 11-3 Rockets. Our coverage starting at 7 with Raptors game night. The Leafs, Austin Matthews, Nylander, and Bozak all skated today while the rest of the team had the day off. New Jersey at the ACC Thursday night. Our coverage starting at 7 o'clock. Now our hockey insider Bob McKenzie joining Overdrive and the voice of Leafs Nation, TSN 1050, Toronto.
Make sure you follow TSN 1050 on Instagram. You have a chance to win Leafs Devils tickets this Thursday night. Follow them at TSN 1050 and like the picture with the On the Bench boys from Leafs Lunch earlier today. And make sure you tag a friend for your chance to win two tickets to see the Leafs take on the Devils Thursday night down at the ACC. Get to our Maple Leaf lineup player of the day later in the hour. Best bets coming up, but Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider in studio. We've got you today and tomorrow, Bob.
Yeah, tomorrow via phone from beautiful Stamford, Connecticut.
You're back down there. NBC. WNBC. Do you ever do the Howard Stern NBC when you're on NBC?
No, but I've done a couple of Howard Stern wrap-up shows in the last 2 years, so that's good.
I heard you that one time. Yeah. I had no idea you were on. I was on the way in, and I was listening.
I enjoy doing that.
There you are with John Hine.
The line went up for this year, too.
Yeah, good man. All right, we've been talking about the Carey Price news. I'm not even sure how to define this, Bob, because they don't say anything.
No, I know.
They don't tell you anything. And based on a couple of years ago where they used the exact same plan, day to day, right around the corner, then he missed 4 months, why should we believe he's coming back anytime
soon? Yep, absolutely. And that's the nature of the beast. And you know what? I don't mind when teams don't tell you what's going on. I don't have a problem with it. If they want to be secretive, be secretive. But if they allow idiots like us with our fertile imaginations to run wild with scenarios and then get upset because somebody's suggesting that he's hurt really badly or he's not hurt at all.
Right.
You know, all those theories will run rampant when we don't know.
And they call you and shoot it down then if there's a theory.
Well, you always run the risk if you say, I think this is way more serious than it looks. And then all of a sudden, Carey Price comes out the next day and says, you're an idiot. I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, or some will come out and say, you know what? He's got no injury at all. He's just taking a mental health break, and he's working with the goalie coach. Someone will say that, and Bergevin or Price or somebody will come out and say, you guys are idiots. He's got a minor injury. We told you what was going on. You don't believe us. You know, so it runs the gamut and whatever. He'll be back when he's ready, and hopefully for him and the Canadians, he's playing better than he did when he wasn't playing well.
Well, it really is a dicey situation because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, Noodles.
Yeah.
Where this is where you'd hope someone could find the scoop through like a player or something like that or whatever. But here's the thing. This happened years ago in Toronto where Reimer was injured. Feschuk picked up the phone and said, I'm calling his mom.
Yeah.
His mom said, yeah, he's got a concussion and went with it. And Feschuk became the guy who everyone hated. Everyone yelled at him. It's like, you can't do that.
That's okay, you're a reporter. People are supposed to hate you.
And Feschuk came out and said, I'm a journalist. I'm trying to find out the info. Yeah, and Burke freaked out. But Feschuk's response, I'm sure, was at the time, just tell us that that's what it is and I don't have to call anybody.
Well,
but don't blame me.
I was saying that in recent, a couple weeks ago, the Galchenyuk was Mario Tremblay came out and said,
nonsense.
Yeah, a bunch of nonsense. And so in Montreal, and we were talking about it, somebody in that room, like the guys in the room know what it is. They must have had to go in and say, guys, cone of silence. Yeah. Like, literally.
Well, but we were talking, it's getting so serious now, it's almost like you can't tell your teammate what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because it's like the teammate knows a buddy.
The wife and the wife.
And the buddy's got us another buddy that knows somebody, and it's like, you can't tell anybody.
But in Montreal, the Mario Tremblays who are digging around on the nonsense stuff Find out what it is. And if you want to release that, then go and release that.
Same thing here. Yeah.
When you mentioned Fezchuk, I thought, oh, was going to lapse into Phil.
He's such an idiot.
Every time.
I forgot about that. He's such an idiot.
Well, oh, do you want to throw your take at Bob McKenzie that I don't think it started SportsCenter? I feel like it should have started SportsCenter.
Comment?
Oh.
Anti Niemi was claimed by the Habs, and you believe.
I'm being dead serious, okay?
Yeah.
I would have called Jose Theodore before Niemi.
Or Jose.
Jose Theodore. I would have called him and said, look, we need 10 days out of you. Can you. Isn't his name Jose Theodore?
No, it's Jose.
I think it's Theodore, not Theodore.
My apologies for the pronunciation.
Yeah, we know Jose who you're talking about. We know what you're talking about.
I would have called Jose Theodore in Montreal and said, can you give me 10 days?
That's like if they have trouble in the shootout, they should call. Remember the guy Raphael, the kid that just jumped on the ice, the practice rink at Montreal?
But Theodore
was in net, and the guy just came out like he was wearing like sweats and shin pad and tapes.
Well, the best part is Theodore poke checked him, like didn't let him score. That was the best part
but
about it.
Anyways, you know what? It'll be interesting to see what happens here, but
I just think the numbers for this Niemi,
they're off the charts bad. There's no question, but it's funny because the one thing about hockey is somebody always thinks we'll fix this. And in the case of Marc Bergevin, who was in Chicago when Niemi was there, and Stefan Waite, the goalie coach of Montreal, who was in Chicago when Niemi was there,
right.
Just as Dale Tallon was in Florida, was in Chicago.
Yeah, in Florida.
And exactly. And the thing of it is, it's such an utterly disposable contract now. He's making $700K. There's no salary cap issue in Montreal. It's a roster spot. So all they're saying is, listen, we've got, I think it's 3 games in the next 5 days, 9 in the next 17. We got 2 back-to-backs in that stretch. So Lindgren's playing well. Price may not be that long, or maybe, well, who the hell knows. But Lindgren's playing well. We should be okay. But we don't want to get into a jam here with Lindgren. If the bottom drops out for Lindgren, and have to throw Fekale, who has no NHL experience in. Yeah. So let's get Niemi on waivers. If we have to throw him in, we'll throw him in. And if he's dog meat, then we'll just dump him, and then we'll try Fekale then. But we don't want to try Fekale and then be scrambling around, and them is not on waivers anymore, and there's not a guy. So it's just, it's like a $700K insurance policy easily.
Yeah, he's disposable. And to me, it's more of a slight on Fekale. Because,
sure it is.
Because you've got Montoya, who's got a concussion, and you never know. He could wake up tomorrow and be fine and work his way back into shape, and then you move on from that. You got Lindgren and Montoya. But the fact that you go and grab somebody, and Fekale is, well, he's number 4 on their depth chart, and he hasn't progressed the way...
He's been a pro for a while, too. Yeah, he got drafted a few years ago.
To me, grabbing him off of waivers, all the other nonsense, it is just an experienced guy, but it's more of a slight on Fekale's
progression. Right, it is. There's no question. If he was like... If he was at the top of his game and was lighting up the American Hockey League and was on a trajectory that said he's going to be an NHL goaltender, then they would probably be a lot more confident. It's interesting, too. I mean, not that they would consider it, but they've got Michael McNiven in their organization. He was so good in Owen Sound last year in the OHL. And they've had him playing, if I'm not mistaken, in Brampton in the East Coast League because they want him playing every night. That initially the way this was supposed to work is Price 1, Montoya 2.
Yeah.
Montoya comes in and helps out when Price can't go. Our Lindgren's our number 1 prospect goalie, so let's get him playing all the games in Laval with Fekale as his backup.
Yeah.
And then the next guy after Lindgren on the depth chart in the organization, goaltending wise, is probably Michael McNiven.
Yeah.
But let's not put him in the American League. Let's drop him down and make him the number 1 goalie in the East Coast League so he's getting lots of action.
It's a smart
and developing. So
I agree.
In a perfect world, Lindgren and McNiven are the future goaltenders, maybe more so than Fekale.
With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. So you were talking about this over the past few days, that Nikita Soshnikov would end up getting called up. He comes up. It's the end of the Freddie the Goat era, and he goes back down to the Marlies. But this doesn't mean Soshnikov's going to play. It just means he's making NHL money. He's on the roster. But when Matthews returns, and let's presume it's Thursday, something's got to give. So what do you see happening here? Who ends up going? Is it Levo on waivers? Do they maneuver the seventh defenseman and put him down? I mean, how are they going to work this out?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't have an answer for you, like an unequivocal, this is what's going to happen answer. What I wonder, and this is, not, I got to be careful, I don't radio myself here, but...
Go for it, Bob.
Yeah, say something crazy. You guys love when you do that.
Yeah.
When I do that. I'm looking at Levo, and I'm thinking, he needs 30-some-odd games the rest of the season to not be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. What's called a Group 6, which is kind of a rare thing, which means you've played a bunch of years and you haven't got enough NHL action, so they declare you a free agent, Group 6. So I think he's well on his way to becoming a Group 6 free agent. And I think that in a general world, Mike Babcock likes having Levo as his insurance policy. That is, he rarely plays, but if he's there, we need him. And when he's there, you can put him in a second power play, big body in front of the net, mm-hmm. plays pretty well, generates a few points, does a good job, but is low maintenance. If he's not playing, he's not complaining to the media or whatever. At the end of the day, I don't think he's getting in 30-some-odd games with the Leafs.
Not if they stay healthy.
So if that's the case, then there are teams out there I know, because I get asked sometimes other teams, what's going on with Levo? You know, and you know, you think he could end up on waivers? Do you think the Leafs will trade him? So, you know, again, let's also be clear on this too. Nobody's saying they want Levo for their first power play and first line winger, but there are teams out there that look at him and think, you know what, that guy would be pretty good on a third or fourth line. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can score 15 goals and 30, 40 points if we play him regularly on our third line. So I wonder, just wonder, if at some point here the Leafs are going to say, we're going to lose this guy for nothing at the end of the year anyways, probably. Mm-hmm. So let's move him on. And now you've you know, Soshnikov isn't going back down unless he's really bad. Three more games, he requires waivers to go down. And obviously he's got to stay healthy. He's got to earn it or whatever. But I'll be interested to see how that whole thing plays out, because I don't see anybody else. I don't see any other soft spot.
No, there isn't.
Up front,
no.
Anyways.
No.
At all.
I mean, he's committed to playing Martin every night.
Yep.
Like, that's what he's proven. And we can talk about it all the time that he should be selective. He's not selective.
Yeah,
he's
just like Hyman's playing on the Matthews line no matter what when Matthews is back. And right now, until we see otherwise, Leo's playing with Kadri, mm-hmm. and assuming everybody's back healthy again, Leo's playing with Kadri, Hyman's playing with Matthews.
Martin's on the fourth line.
And Martin's on the fourth line.
And that's that.
And I don't know everybody's healthy, I don't know where there's room for Levo, and then we'll see where Soshnikov fits in, if at all.
Mm-hmm. To say nothing of Kapanen, who's sitting in the minors and feels like he can play. And
I think he's an NHL player.
He is, but he's just, as Babcock has said, you know, everybody ends up on the team
at the right time.
And at the right time, you know, not right away necessarily. And most people, I think, you know, hey, Kapanen was up playing in the playoffs, scoring goals against the Washington Capitals. He's in the minors because he can be put there. Soshnikov is up because his contract said if he's not up, he gets to go back to Russia, and they don't want to lose control of the asset.
Well, I mean, I think what you're waiting for, and I'm sure there have already been examples of this, is a team that's depleted with injuries who feels like they're playing for something this year.
Yeah.
If you're a bad team and you got injuries, you're like, all right, we'll just call the kids up, maybe even tank. But if you're a team who feels like, you know, you just got to get through a storm here, call, you know, that's when you can pounce. That's when you can take advantage. It happened to the Leafs a few years ago. Remember when they made the trade for Peter Holland because Kadri was suspended, Bozak was injured. They thought they had a good team. It turns out that obviously they didn't. But they paid a decent price for a guy in Peter Holland who Anaheim was like, we're going to lose this guy anyway. Go ahead, take him.
Yep.
Pay the price.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, we always talk about these things in a perfect world, and then the world's not perfect, because no sooner do you talk about that than you find out that so-and-so's injured or so-and-so's not coming back from injury. Or
well, exactly. And the Leafs have to be careful, too, because maybe they're the team that finds themselves in that position.
Yep.
Good team runs into injuries. You're going to need the depth at that point.
You do.
All right, Bob. We'll catch you over the phone tomorrow from Stamford, Connecticut in WNBC.
Thanks, boys.
All right. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. You get that reference? You just shake your hand?
I did.
You don't understand that?
I understand it.
I didn't
That's from Howard
head,
Stern's movie,
understand.
Private Parts.
Yeah, from Private Parts.
That's anyway. Paul Giamatti
played pig vomit in that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bobby Mack will join us tomorrow, again, over the phone. Dregs in studio later in the week.